NCTV.
It's a beautiful sunny evening in St Albans. We're in our new studios and we've got some lovely sunny guests too. So we'd like to introduce you now. We've got Beth Palmer from Berkhamsted, and Beth is a mum of three children. Correct, yep, Beth?
That's correct.
Good evening and welcome. And her company, or Beth, is Super Kids. So we're going to find out what you do and kind of your thoughts and experiences about helping our children to reach their potentials. So, Kathy, do you want to kick off with something?
Well, I suppose, Beth, the first question is, I know you work a lot directly with children, so you've got lots of experience of what their views and perhaps why they're not reaching their potential. But I think as parents, we're always worried, and one of the reasons why we might turn to you is because we're really worried about saying the wrong thing. We don't know whether it's, we've spoken a little bit tonight with Eddie about the carrot and the stick, but what's your view on incentives? Would you agree with Eddie? It's they're quite important to us as adults as well. Is there a way, an optimal way, that parents can encourage our children to reach their potential without pushing them, without stressing them out?
Yeah, I think it's important to really focus on what our children are good at and to really spend time praising them for the things that they do well, because what we can often get into is just picking out the things that they don't do well and picking out the questions that they did get wrong, or the mark in the spelling test that wasn't quite as good as the week before. And our brains tend to work on the basis that we'll always pick out what's wrong rather than what's right, and that's just how we're wired, that's just how our brains work. I sort of teach kids how their brains work a little bit, and I teach parents in my Parent Powers program, which is the parent version of the Super Kids, really how their brains work a little bit, so they can understand their behaviour and they can understand how to be more positive with their children. So with kids, by focusing on what they're doing really well is a really good way of raising their potential, and by not labelling them and not limiting them with what they can do.
And there's a very fine line, isn't there? I don't know if you'd agree with this, Shirley, between praising and then they think, oh, I'm so fab at this, I won't bother. This is a big danger. Yeah. What is the fine balance?
Well, there's the correct way of giving praise, you know, because just telling our children that they're wonderful the whole time actually does nothing for them and can actually give them an inflated sense of themselves. And actually it can also turn into white noise because there's nothing there that's specific at all. So being able to praise our children specifically for what they've done is a really, really important skill. So if your child comes to you with a piece of work that they've just prepared, rather than just reading it and saying, oh, that's really good, which, you know, you think, well, that's a good thing to say to your child, that they've done really well, but actually picking out specific things that they've done really well is a really good way of giving praise. And also asking them what they think, because what you want to do is you want to train your child into ways of seeing how they can do better without having to rely on other people, because they're not always going to have you around. They're not always going to have teachers around telling them what they should and shouldn't be doing. They need to be free thinkers. They need to be independent thinkers and able to analyse their own work and see where they can be doing better. So little tips like that with how to sort of help give feedback is really, really important.
Beth, would you agree with the fact that, say, for example, a child hasn't done a very good piece of work, and we know that, and they'll know if we do this sort of faint praise, but, you know, you could say, but what I think is amazing is how hard you worked, or how long you worked, or you went to the library and got that book out yourself. So we pick up something on their attitude rather than the results.
And there's the effort. There's a big, big debate on the whole effort versus achievement. Yeah. And I think often we can get very bogged down on exactly what grade have they got, you know, because we all see our kids' school reports and we all have different numbers and letters on the reports and we all want to see certain levels. But sometimes it's really important to recognise the effort that a child has put in, and that actually it does take a lot of effort to get good grades and it does take a lot of perseverance and carrying on with it. It's a massive debate, the whole effort versus achievement, and I think praising a child on the amount of effort they've put in is a very, very important thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Eddie talked a lot just previously to you coming in on, you know, things being a stage in a child's life. How do you feel about that? You know, that they might not be getting great grades now, but that's not to say that in 3 years, things aren't going to change. Mm. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and it's teaching them a process. And I think that's what we as parents need to be doing. We need to be teaching them lots of processes so that it's setting them up for later in life. You know, we need to be teaching them resilience, that, yeah. Oh, you didn't get the grade you wanted this time, but look how hard you worked. Imagine if you did a little bit more extra, you know, an extra hour a week study. Imagine if you did this extra class after school. Imagine if you did this. And you're setting up a process for them.
And Beth, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I think children have very great difficulty age 10, 11, imagining, you know, their future. Mm. Why should I bother doing this? Okay, yeah. In the immediate term to please mum and dad, but yeah. Why bother? Yeah. They don't have the ability, nor should they really, to envisage what it is they want out of life or other relationship between hard work. Yeah. And attainment or happiness. Yeah. Or,
exactly.
You know. So is that an important part? Do you think that they need to have that vision, some sort of vision that you help them build gradually?
Well, one of the things we do on Super Kids, on one of the courses that I run over the summer, is looking at things like goal setting, but for children. You know, so children aren't always going to want to know what they want to be when they grow up, but certainly getting them to think about the kind of things that they want in their life and the kind of things that they enjoy and maybe some future things that they do want. And then we just break it down into little steps, you know, and we can make little pictures and collages about what they want to try and focus their sort of outlook on life. And we break down what they have to do to get what they want. So, you know, I did one for a group of brownies recently, and we had girls wanting to be surgeons, wanting to be vets, wanting to work on farms and all different things. And it's getting them to see that actually if they want this big goal, they need to break it down into little steps. So they need to be speaking to people who do those jobs. They need to be getting experience and information and looking on the internet and things like that. So it's just seeing that all these things are very achievable if they follow a process.
Would you agree, everyone, that it should be up on posters everywhere, that if you don't get a decent grade in maths GCSE, it seems to have haunted me my whole life, you know, this maths GCSE that I worked so, I was so bad at maths. But if you don't get a reasonably good grade, it seems C or a B, there's lots of things later in life you can't actually do. So I think understanding those little bits of information, you know, you can't become a doctor with a poor grade in maths or science, you know, it makes life more difficult. So I think working backwards from what you've said is crucial, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think, Shirley?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, teaching teachers actually, Beth, that are struggling because they still haven't got their maths and they're trying to do that at the same time as they're doing their teaching qualification.
Yes.
So Kathy's right, you know, it comes back to haunt you.
Yes.
So the other thing, could you share some more of the things you do with us at Super Kids? So you do your sort of life goals and things. Yep. What else do you do at Super Kids?
Well, Super Kids, the kind of how Super Kids came about was that when I sort of studied all this stuff, and I started studying all this stuff about 4 years ago, and I learned very much how the brain works and all these kind of things which happen, which no one tells you. Mm. And I just thought, why don't we tell this to kids? Why don't we give them more of a head start and tell them how they can be thinking a bit better, how they can be focusing a bit better and concentrating? Because we're always told to sit still, concentrate, focus, but no one actually tells us how to do that. So the Super Kids program is full of lots of practical tips with how to boost concentration and focus, how to understand what goes on in your head, how to sort of think very positively, how to set goals for yourself, how to deal with worries. I did little mini workshops over half term in St Albans about how to deal with friendships and how to beat bullies and things like that, how to deal with anger. Mm-hmm. So it's all these sort of resilience, personal skills. So it's not an academic course. It's not, you know, I'm not an academic tutor.
No.
But I'm very much around giving them all of the skills that will help with academic life. Mm. I mean, some of the work I do with the schools in Berkhamsted is to help with transition from primary school to secondary school, to give them a bit more confidence. So the courses I've got coming up in St Albans over the summer are very much to do with confidence building. So body language, awareness of what's going on, positive thinking techniques, and just making sure that kids can get more out of life.
And I think you've mentioned, you know, it's the anxiety about well-being again, anxiety of transitioning to a different school. You know, all those feelings have to be managed before they can sit down and concentrate on their work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they're worried about things, so that's
absolutely
crucial.
Everything else goes out the window. Because it's fight or flight. That's what happens in the brain. It's the fight or flight, panic, the freeze, and you cannot access logic or reason.
No.
So teaching these kids actually that it's quite normal to get into the fight or flight, but actually teaching them from really easy techniques that they can do in terms of visualising stuff or in terms of calming themselves down, and then they can access the thinking brain and they can carry on with their schoolwork or perform in the school play or play football or whatever it is they're trying to do.
Now, in the research we did on you, it came up that you like to use some NLP, is that correct?
Yes.
I hear this, I see it in books, yes. I know it's good for adopted children. Can you just tell us very briefly, if parents are listening, what is NLP?
NLP is so it stands for neuro-linguistic programming, and it's a very complicated way of just explaining what goes on in your brain and how your brain works, that there's a lot of kind of unconscious activity going on in your brain, and it's really how to become more aware of habits and habitual thinking patterns and different ways of that you might be behaving and interacting with people, and it's about understanding yourself, really. Mm. I like to call it the instruction manual for the brain.
Okay.
Now, we know it's exam season. We've mentioned this earlier with Eddie.
Yeah.
What is the best thing? Parents are listening. You know, they want to know what they should say to their child the morning of the exam, the night before the exam. Mm. Someone said to me, you shouldn't say good luck. You should just say, just focus, or don't say anything. Or I remember I never wanted anyone to ever speak to me when I was doing.
Yeah.
So parents don't know what to do or say. What would your advice be, the morning of an exam or the night before?
I would say whatever you say, make sure it's positive, not negative. Avoid nagging as much as you can.
Okay.
And I think we want our children to do so. We want them to do so well, and we can feel what we felt when we were in their situation, and we know how awful it is. But being positive and not saying the things that are going to wind them up. So I think,
but what about saying something like, I mean, I don't really like the idea of saying to them, try your best, it's okay if you don't do well, you know. Is that doesn't that just set them up to think, oh, it's all right, she doesn't really, you know, mind so much?
Yeah. I mean, I think most kids want to do well in exams. Mm. I mean, I think that is genuinely the case, that the kids do want to do well. So I think whatever you can say to support them about, you know, having a decent breakfast before they go in for their exam, and you know, any techniques they've got to stay focused and, and calm, getting them to stay calm and to kind of think positive thoughts. You know, what I always say to kids is visualize yourself doing something really well, because what we'll do the night before is we'll go and we'll visualize ourselves messing up the exam. And actually, you know, NLP is all about visualizing what you want to happen. You know, so visualizing yourself sitting at the end of the exam having done really well, and focusing on how that feels, and that makes you feel really good when you think about that you've achieved something. So little techniques like that can be really, really helpful. So, you know, getting them to focus on how good are you going to feel when you've done the exam and when you've done the best you can.
And if they come out and they think they haven't done very well at all, do we just park that and move on? What do you think? Or do you try and reflect on it?
They want
them
to talk about it. You know, what I would say is there's a why questioning and there's a how questioning. And what we tend to do as parents is we tend to focus on the why. So why didn't you revise enough? Why couldn't you answer that question? Why? And actually, it's very backward looking questioning, and you can't change what's already happened. So what I would suggest to parents is ask as many how questions as you can. So how can you do better in the next exam? Okay, how can you move on from this? How could you maybe put some more effort into your coursework? How can you do more revision? And it's problem solving questioning rather than beating themselves up about why they might have messed up, because we can't change what's happened already, but it's all about moving on.
And I think putting yourself in their shoes. Nobody likes to be asked, why didn't you do that at work? Why didn't you do it better? We could talk all night, couldn't we, Sharon?
We could. I've got so much more I want to ask you.
Well, just to flag up your website, Beth, it's www.bethparmar.co.uk.
Yes. And all the details of all of the courses for parents and for children are on there.
Yeah, you'll find us booked in. We all need a bit of that, don't we, Shirley?
Yeah.
Thank you, Beth.